We'll rest here for the night. Brian turned off the engine. The hot pistons chugged by themselves for a while, then sputtered wildly and finally died.
Why? There's still plenty of daylight.
Stephen didn't budge from his comfortable seat.
And we'll need it to make camp.
Ryan took his Steyr from the dashboard.
Have to scout the area and check the water.
This isn't one of my regular stops.
Exactly why I chose it.
Ryan opened the side door and climbed from the high cab.
We have visibility for miles, so nobody can sneak close.
This is a waste of time. I must reach Front Royal by the end of the week.
Ryan slammed the door and walked around to the other side.
You want to reach Front Royal, or only try to reach it? Taking chances gets folks chilled.
Stephen took off his wool cap, twisted it in his hands, then shoved it back on and glowered at the one-eyed man.
Okay, we'll do as you suggest. But if we're late...
Won't be.
Ryan turned away from the caravan owner. Placing two fingers in his mouth, he whistled sharply, then drew a thumb across his throat. The other drivers cut their engines, and an eerie silence extended over the landscape. Cicadas chirped in the tall weeds, and a stingwing buzzed overhead, searching for its evening meal. The orange sky was cloudy, the air chilly, but no breeze stirred over the land, threatening to bring a storm. Uzi in hand, JB hopped from the back of the flatbed and surveyed the area.
Looks good.
He tilted his fedora back to a more comfortable position now that there was no danger of the wind carrying it away.
I'll check the farmhouse for unwanted guests. Want any help?
Stephen shouldered his long blaster. This was his convoy, and he didn't like these outlanders making every decision, even if they were the right decisions. The armorer snorted in reply and disappeared from sight through a hole in the clapboard wall. His boots crunching on the dry soil, Ryan walked over to the passenger van, and Christy stuck her head out the window.
Hey, lover. We making camp here?
Going to find out in a tick. JB is doing a wreck.
A few minutes passed with no sign of the man, and Ryan was starting to get uneasy when the quiet of the farm was violently ripped apart by the sound of an Uzi blast.
Fire blast. Christy, stay here and give us cover. I'm going after him.
Moving fast, the redhead threw open the door to the cab and drew her blaster. Standing on the tire, she rested the wheel gun on the metal roof to steady her aim. Sprinting for the pre-dark building, Ryan slowed as JB walked casually into view, carrying a huge possum by its skinny tail.
Dinner is served.
Grunting from the strain, the Sekhmen pulled up the rope going out the window of the fortress at Casanovaville until the bucket full of moat water came into view. Carefully lifting it over the sill, they carried the sloshing plastic container across the bloody floor and threw its contents onto what remained of the naked woman tied to the surgical table. Thick with slime and stinking of waste, the filthy water sluiced the blood and flies off the prisoner, momentarily awakening her. She thrashed about, opening old wounds on her wrists and ankles, fresh red trickling down the sloped table surface and onto the sticky floor. Her scream slowed to mumbled speech, then unintelligible mutters as she fainted again, her mutilated body supported only by the binding ropes. Reaching into a pocket of his silk vest, Baron John Henderson extracted an antique silver snuff box, opened it carefully, and took a pinch of the powder inside, sniffing it up first one nostril, then the other. The finely ground mixture of tobacco and jolt tingled deliciously, the electric sensation feeling as if it were going straight into his brain. Suddenly, his aged body felt alive again, young and strong. The sunlight streaming into the room started to take on altered colors, the hues shimmering and overlapping, as if he were looking at the world through a distorted prism. As usual, the Baron of Casanova was wearing a pre-dark business suit of raw silk and dainty velvet bedroom slippers. Tassels dangled from an ornamental saber hung at his hip, and the blaster in his shoulder holster was heavy with gold filigree. Even the holster itself was covered with elaborate embroidery. Every button and buckle on his clothes shone with polish, but his nails were cracked and deeply caked with old dirt. Unshaven, with greasy hair, there was a definite odor of urine and festering disease about the elderly man. The reek was only partially disguised by heavy doses of sweet perfume, literally poured over his clothing and hair. Walking about the breathing horror on the table, Henderson scratched at a scab on his face while surveying the monstrous work dispassionately.
"Well, has she fainted again, Randolph?"
The Baron sniffed another pinch from the snuffbox. His heart began to pound in his chest, and Henderson wisely tucked away the box for the present. When the jolt finally did kill him, it was going to be a dark day for the people of Isville. The details were all worked out. But that wasn't today. Not quite yet, anyhow. Dressed in surgical garb and tight leather gloves, a man with slicked back hair was curiously inspecting the person on the table, taking her pulse. He hauled off and brutally slapped the woman twice. She only gurgled like a happy infant and made sucking noises.
"How very unfortunate."
Randolph frowned in annoyance. Turning toward the Baron, he bowed deeply, laying a crimson-stained hand on his chest. As it came away, there was a red outline of a palm on the white cloth.
"Sir, I fear the prisoner is prematurely gone mad."
"How is that possible?"
Baron Henderson stared hatefully at the cooing woman.
"You promised me she would talk first."
Taking a magnifying glass from a pocket of his gown, Randolph looked into her darting eyes.
"I must have miscalculated the level of pain she could endure."
He pursed his thin lips thoughtfully.
"Norm females are designed for childbirth, and so can always withstand more pain than a mere man."
"But not this particular woman."
"So it would seem. And she was a virgin, too. Fascinating, actually."
"This is twice you have failed me."
Henderson advanced menacingly upon the slim man.
"There won't be a third time."
The sec man moved out of the way as Randolph stepped away from the Baron and bowed again.
"My deepest apologies, my lord."
"We should have starved her."
The voice came from the doorway. The Baron turned to see his grandson walk into the chamber. Unlike the Baron and his father before, the man was wearing military fatigues, plain boots, and had a functioning blaster at his side. Not a single item of clothing properly glorified the sole heir of Casanovaville.
Starvation.
The young man walked over to the prisoner and curled a lip in disgust. She had once been so very beautiful, a fit consort for any Baron, but now not even the rats would eat her corpse.
"Everybody talks when they get hungry enough. Why bother with hooks and corkscrews?"
William waved a calloused hand at the gibbering woman on the table.
"This was completely unnecessary."
"By the blood of our fathers, you are too weak to be Baron!"
Henderson spat, rubbing a trail of mucus off his face with a crusty sleeve.
"Death is part of life. Often the best part, and you'll know that when you first kill somebody."
Narrowing his eyes to slits, William stared at the old reprobate, limbs quivering from the jolt rotting his brain, wine and semen staining his clothes everywhere. And this muty fucker dared to lecture a soldier about life? What bitter irony that was.
"And you, dear grandfather, are too interested in fun. Slice her like a solstice turkey afterward if it gives you pleasure. But first we get the bastard information, you ass!"
The secman in the room recoiled at the words, and the Baron stared aghast at his grandson. Then he broke into a gale of laughter.
"I see there is some iron under all that pomp and parade, after all. Good. Maybe some of my blood is in you."
More than enough, William thought privately. The stinking junkie and his pet torturer should both be burned alive for the good of the Ville as soon as possible. Then he could take over and run the place as it should be, with military discipline and instant justice. The lost glory of the fatherland would return to America someday. He would see to it personally.
"Randolph!"
Tightening the neck straps on the prisoner, the interrogator turned to look at the young man.
"Yes, sir?"
Were you able to get anything from her about the odd activity in the woods north of here?
Yes, and no.
Randolph gave the leather strap a final tug. He tenderly caressed the woman's long hair.